listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Dr. Melody Fox right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and with me is my lovely and talented co-host, psychologist, Dr. Melody Fox.
Well, each week we bring you guests that can inspire, educate, and entertain while bringing answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future.
And we will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and so much more.
With each of us having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, we have been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in this field who are working to make this world a better place for all of us.
And we'll bring you some of these incredibly talented and caring people each week as we bring you Answers for the Family. Our guest, Eric Greitens, served as a United States Navy SEAL officer and was deployed four times during the global war on terrorism in Afghanistan, Southeast Asia, Africa, and Iraq. He served as the commander of a Joint Special Operations Task Unit and as commander of an Al-Qaeda targeting cell. In 2005, Eric was appointed by the president to serve as a White House fellow, and in 2011, the Association of the United States Navy named him the Navy Reserve Junior Line Officer of the Year. His military awards include the Naval Achievement Medal, the Joint Service Achievement Medal, the Naval Commendation Medal, the Joint Service Commendation Medal, the Combat Action Ribbon, the Purple Heart, and the Bronze Star. After returning from Iraq in 2007, Eric donated his combat pay to found The Mission Continues, a national nonprofit organization that challenges veterans to serve and lead in communities all across America. As CEO, Eric has been recognized as one of the most innovative leaders in America. A photographer and a writer, Eric is the author of three books. His first, Strength and Compassion, is a collection of photographs and essays that was recognized as Forwards Magazine Photography Book of the Year and as the grand prize winner of the 2009 New York Book Festival. His second book, The Heart and the Fist, The Education of a Humanitarian, The Making of a Naval SEAL, relates Eric's story of leadership and service as a humanitarian and a warrior, and was the 2011 New York Times bestseller, and of course his latest, The Warrior's Heart, which, if I had my say in it, would be issued as a textbook to every high school in America.
Absolutely.
Eric, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Well, Alan, it is a pleasure to be on with you, and Dr. Fox, pleasure to be on with you also. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, we are so thrilled to have you here, and I have to tell you, this is the most engaging book I think I've ever read. I love this book. It was hard to put down.
Well, thank you so much. It's a wonderful thing to hear, and it is. It's so fun when people pick it up and they engage with it and they find a way to take it and apply it to their own lives.
Yeah, but what I really like is you bring your own adventures of life for teens, and you know, you share the stories of friendship and struggle and all the wisdom that you gathered through the years. And that's where I think Alan has it right on the nose. I think it should be a textbook in every high school. I think every teen could benefit from reading this and hearing your journey and your story and how you got there.
Well, thank you so much. It has been a lot of fun since the book's been out, going to middle schools, going to high schools, and talking with young readers about some of the challenges that they face. And it's been so fun for them to reflect on adventures that I've had as a Navy SEAL, or adventures that I had working with Children of the Street in Bolivia, or that I had, you know, in a boxing gym, and how they take these lessons about making tough choices in their own lives and find a way to apply it to themselves right away. Right.
Which I think you did so well in the book, because of the way that you approached many of the chapters with the "What would you do?"
Yes.
That impressed me so much, and I have two teenage sons. And I've been discussing it with my 16-year-old, and that's some of the things that we already talked about, and that is, what would you do? Mm-hmm. And then to read the chapter and to learn what it is that you did, and how you felt about the way that you handled it, but at the same time to then turn to my 16-year-old and say, okay, now with that, you know, having just read that, what would you do?
Yeah, that was, I'm so glad you brought that up, Alan, because I was reading that, and I wanted to bring it up too. I just love that you threw that in at the end, because it makes you think about what would you do in that situation, because a lot of those situations were so, no matter what decision you made, there's a consequence for it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You know, one of the reasons why I included those was that as a kid, I remember I always loved reading those choose-your-own-adventure stories, mm-hmm. where you'd kind of be reading the book, and then you'd have to make a decision about whether you were going to go into the cave or head down the path, and then they tell you to flip to page 80 or flip to page, you know, 103. Mm-hmm. And what was so great about those stories is that it was really, it became about your journey as you were moving through the story. And what I really wanted to do in The Warrior's Heart was to place the reader right at the center of the story. And I want young people to, in these choose your own adventure like sections, I want them to reflect on what they would do if they were in Navy SEAL training, what they would do if they had to face a bully, what they would do if they were doing humanitarian work overseas. And what's so fun is to see how young people start to exercise their moral imagination and really think about how to make these choices, and it's been a lot of fun to see how young people react to this.
And when you say young people, I think that's what made it so engaging, and you hooked me right away on your first chapter, Adventure Awaits, when you talked about how you wanted to be a superhero, and you were talking about, you know, how you read about King Arthur and the medieval knights of the Round Table and Pericles, who built democracy in ancient Greece, and your love for history, and it just was so engaging. It just kind of drew me in, and I wanted to read more and more and more about it. And I'm just curious, you know, why did you decide to write The Warrior's Heart?
Well, you know, one of the reasons why I decided to write The Warrior's Heart was that, you might remember, I released a book called The Heart and the Fist in 2011, and that was a book that was geared for adults, the subtitle of which was The Education of a Humanitarian, The Making of a Navy SEAL. And in that book, I wrote a lot about my adventures doing humanitarian work overseas in places like Bosnia and Rwanda and Cambodia. And then I talked, of course, about my Navy SEAL training, my four deployments as a Navy SEAL, and then about the work that I do today with returning veterans through an organization called The Mission Continues. But what we found was that so many parents were telling us that they had picked up The Heart and the Fist, that they read it, and that they were now trying to share some of the lessons with their kids. And so many people were asking, is there something that you have for teens? Because they wanted to share this book with their sons and daughters. And so we just received all of these letters and emails, also from some teenagers who had read The Heart and the Fist, and that really led us to see that there was a place for these stories, and that if we could really build something that would be engaging for teen readers, that it would, you know, we'd be able to put something out that would have a successful impact on their lives.
Oh, yeah, and you're such a prolific writer. It's like you are so beautiful at describing everything and telling your stories. And one of the things I really like is how you talked about how you got to the point of being more of a humanitarian and looking outside yourself. I think it was part of the teen leadership group that you did in St. Louis. Is that what first got you started in that?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the lessons that I share is from my time as a teenager in St. Louis. And I went back, it's one of the things I did in The Warrior's Heart, was I included a lot of stories from my time as a young kid. You know, my first job that I had with my first boss, and one of the lessons that I was taught by the director of a Youth Leadership St. Louis program named Bruce Carl. And, you know, what Bruce Carl did for me, he was a really important mentor of mine, and one day, Bruce said to me that we were going to go downtown to a homeless shelter in the city of St. Louis. And I had done some community service work before, and I thought, okay, well, we'll go down there. And then Bruce said to me, he said, and we're going to spend the night. And as a 16-year-old kid, the thought of spending a night in a homeless shelter was a little bit scary, it was a little bit off-putting. I didn't know what to think of it. And what I so respected about what Bruce said is he said, it's important for you to do this. He said, because it's important for you to understand how all of your neighbors are living. Mm-hmm. And what was really powerful about the way that Bruce spoke to me and to the other teenagers who were in my group was he didn't say, you have to study this and understand this because one day you'll be able to make a difference. One day after you've graduated from high school, or one day after you've gone to college, or one day when you're 40 years old that you'll be able to make a difference. Instead, what Bruce said to us was, you have to understand how all of your neighbors are living because you can make a difference in their lives right now. And I've tried to take some of those lessons, put them into the warrior's heart so that all young people, as they're reading the book, they can start to think about how they can develop their own talents, their own skills, their own abilities, because there is a place and a purpose for everyone. There's a way for all of them to develop those talents and abilities because we need them to play an effective role and start to serve in our schools and in our communities.
And that's what I really liked, is that you did add these extra stories, and it shows your own growth as you were growing up as well. And that's where I think it really connects with the reader, especially a teenager who could identify with what you were going through and the thoughts that were going through your head as you were heading out to the homeless shelter to spend the night, and what you thought of the people there, and how you were able to change that perception. I'm just curious, how important do you think it is for teens to be involved in youth projects or youth leadership and get out to the community?
Oh, I think it's critical. I think it's really important that families get their kids involved in the community, because what happens is when kids start to get involved in the community, when they start to do service work, they start to see themselves for the power that they have to make a difference. So oftentimes in the lives of kids, they're kind of on the receiving end, and they're being taught or they're being coached, and they might not recognize all that they have to offer. And I think when we create opportunities for them to be of service in their school, for them to be of service in the community, for them to make a difference in the wider world, they start to connect to their own power. And what happens then is that they in turn then become motivated because they want to learn how to read better. They want to learn how to write even better. They want to learn how to build teams. They want to learn how to get engaged because they see that they have something to offer to others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Eric, in reading the book, one of the things that I noticed is that, you know, I think it's your personality. You were blessed with many mentors, it appears. It appears that in each situation or each stage of your life, you have been blessed with a mentor. What are some of the things that young people can do to match themselves up or to put themselves in a position to where somebody will take them and mentor them in the same manner as which it happened for you?
You know, I think that it's such a great question. One of the things that I always say to young people, and this is true whether they're in college, in high school, or in middle school, is that there is so much wisdom that already exists around them, and it exists in their teachers, it exists in their counselors, it exists in their coaches, it exists in their community leaders. And one of the things that it often takes is just a little bit of courage to actually go out as a young person and let someone know about their interests. Mm-hmm. Let someone know that they're looking to learn a new skill, or they're looking to do community service, or they're interested in someone's history. And I have found that people generally can be so generous with their time with young people, and can really help to coach them, to teach them, and to mentor them in the right way. So the first thing that I would advocate for young people is to be courageous and to go out and to speak to the teacher or the counselor or the coach or the community leader. Talk to their parents about people who are in the community who might know things that they want to learn or have skills that they want to master. So mm-hmm. I think that's the first lesson, is to be courageous. And then the second thing, I think, is that to actually be mentored, we have to be open to that mentoring. And it's one of the reasons why I think humility is such an important virtue for service, such an important virtue for leadership, that we have to recognize that we can actually learn from everyone around us. And I think that if we really walk through the world with a true spirit of humility, what it allows us to do is it allows us to see that every single person around us is better than us in some way. Every single person around us has something that they can teach us. And so not only do we have to be courageous, but I think we also have to have that kind of humble mindset. And if we start to build that habit of humility in our lives, that habit of seeing everyone around us for what they can teach us, we'll find that we will build those mentoring relationships in our lives.
And with the mentoring, I know you talked about how big of influence Bruce Carl was at the teen leadership, but what are some of the other influences for you growing up, other people that were involved in your life that really touched you? I know you mentioned quite a few in the book, but can you tell us on the air?
Yes, so many wonderful mentors, so many people to be thankful for. I'll tell you about one of my mentors was Roger Richardson. Roger Richardson gave me my very first job when I was 10 years old. Now, Roger was the husband of Ann Richardson. Ann Richardson had been my kindergarten teacher. And Ann and Roger were actually our neighbors. They lived around the block. And when I was 10 years old, Roger asked me if I wanted a job to start helping him cutting his lawn, doing some painting, edging his lawn, doing errands for him around the house. And I started working for Roger when I was 10. And one of the things that I learned from Roger that was so important was about the importance of a job well done. And what I really respected about Roger, I remember one day, I tell the story in the Warrior's Heart, I remember one day I had forgotten to bundle all of these sticks that I had left on Roger's porch. And to Roger's credit, he called my house and he didn't ask for my mom or to speak to my parents. He asked to speak to me, and I got on the phone and Roger just told me, he said, "Eric, you didn't finish the job. You need to come back and finish what you started." And that was one of the longest walks of my young life, having to walk back there, because I knew that I'd forgotten this and I hadn't done it right. But what Roger really taught me was about the importance of doing a job well. So Roger Richardson was a fantastic, fantastic mentor of mine. He actually, very unfortunately, just passed away a couple of weeks ago. And I was actually with Ann at Roger's funeral, and he had that kind of influence on my life and on the life of a lot of other young men and women who he coached and who he taught.
And while we're talking about your mentors, add a little bit in regards to Earl. I really enjoyed the chapter where you talk a little bit about Earl and his influence on you.
Yeah, so Alan, Earl was my first boxing coach. And when I was 19 years old, I was in college. I was in Durham, North Carolina, and I decided that I wanted to learn how to box. So I went down to the Durham boxing gym, and I ran into Earl Blair. And Earl Blair was a guy who had grown up during the Depression. He'd served in the United States military at the very end of World War II. And he'd really spent his life, you know, doing work in warehouses and simple work, but his life's work really was in coaching young men and teaching young men, and he taught them in the boxing gym. And of course, Earl taught me how to throw a jab, he taught me how to throw an uppercut and how to throw a left hook, he taught me all of those things, but even more importantly, I think Earl taught me what that was for. And so lessons in boxing turned into lessons in self-mastery. And one of the things that he talked about was that if you're a real warrior, then it's not about just having strength, which is sometimes the conception of what it means to be a warrior. He says, if you're a real warrior, it's about using your strength to a good purpose. Mm-hmm. And Earl would always ask us to think about our purpose and how we could use our strengths to a good purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just thinking when you were talking about that, it kind of threw me into the chapter where you talked about when you were in China and you're learning Kung Fu, and I'm going to say sensei. I know it's not the sensei because that's Japanese, but the teacher of the class wanted to make sure that you really knew what you were doing it, so you didn't do Kung Fu bad because he didn't want you to misrepresent them. They wanted you to
honor them. Yes, he was absolutely insistent. He said, if you're an American, you have to learn how to do this really well because you're going to go back home to America and we want you to be a good representative of Kung Fu.
Right. He wanted you to be the best that you could be, and which I think is about military service too. They want you to be the best that you could be, and you want to have honor, integrity, and have that work ethic and follow through and don't give up.
It's absolutely essential, and I saw that in the Kung Fu class. I saw it in the boxing gym with Earl. I saw it in the SEAL teams, that so many times when we think about courage, a lot of times we have a misconception. I certainly did as a young man. And whenever I thought about courage, immediately I started to think of bravery. Mm-hmm. And I would think of these moments of incredible difficulty and danger when somebody might stand up and even throw themselves against the odds and maybe even do so to sacrifice themselves and be of service to other people. And look, I have seen bravery on the battlefield. Bravery is an important part of our lives. But what I learned in the Kung Fu class, what I saw in the boxing gym and in the SEAL team training, was it actually the kind of courage that it really takes to change who you are, the kind of courage that it takes to change the way that you can be of service to people around you, it's very rarely something that happens in a flash. Mm-hmm. And that what we really need is we need the courage of perseverance. We need the willingness to do the hard thing that has to be done day after day after day. And if we build that kind of courage in our life, if we build those kinds of habits in our lives, then we find a way to work through pain until we reach a place of wisdom. We find a way to work through our fear until we reach a place of courage. We find a way to work through suffering until we reach a place of strength. And in the warrior's heart, I want young people to see that they are going to face challenges. They are going to face pain and suffering and hardships in their lives. But I do want them to reflect on these stories from the Kung Fu training or the boxing or the humanitarian work or the SEAL team training and think to themselves, you know what? I can be resilient. I can be courageous and I can persevere.
And I think that's kind of what sets your books apart from the warrior's heart from your previous one that you said was geared more towards the adults, because you really get into the kids' imagination. You really put them there with you, and they have an ability to learn how to think a different way, to look at what their actions might lead to, what consequences depending on their choices. And it's just such a phenomenal journey. I just in awe of it. I just could not put it down once I opened it.
Well, thank you, Dr. Fox. You know, I will tell you, one of the most fun things that we've heard and one of the greatest pieces of feedback is that we've had a number of parents, and they happen most of them to have been parents of young men, who have said to us, you know, they've said, you know, our son wasn't reading. He just wouldn't read, and we wanted him to read, and we're trying to encourage him to read, but he just wasn't interested in reading. And they said, we got him a copy of The Warrior's Heart, and we had to go into his room. It was well past midnight, and make him put the book down and go to sleep. And so that's really, it's the greatest compliment, is when it is engaging for young people in a way that they get to think about their own journey, their own potential for service, their own role models that they might seek in their lives. And that's been a lot of fun.
And I can't imagine a better way to fall asleep than to be reading a chapter in your book, because it just goes into your long-term memory, and you could just dream about these adventures that you had that these children possibly could have in their life, depending on the choices that they make. And with that, we're going to have to make a choice to take a quick commercial break, but we will be right back with more Answers to the Family. Please join us as we will continue with Eric Greiten, the warrior, the Navy SEAL himself, who wrote the wonderful book, The Warrior's Heart. We'll be back in a moment with more Answers to the Family.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
And we're back with more Answers for the Family. I'm your co-host, Dr. Melody Fox, along with Alan Cardoza. And our guest today is Eric Greiten. He is a former Navy SEAL, and he's written some wonderful books, and the latest one is called The Warrior's Heart, Becoming a Man of Compassion and Courage, as we continue talking with him. Welcome back, Eric.
Great to be back with you, Dr. Fox.
Yeah, so Al and I were talking briefly on the break about your book, and again, on how important we think every teen could benefit, boys and girls. I think it's very engaging for girls too, but definitely boys, and they're really hard to get through sometimes. And why don't you share with us what you're talking about, Alan, during the break?
Well, Eric, I wanted to let you know that I got a confirming email this morning. When I started reading your book, I was so engaged by it that I contacted the private school that one of my sons goes to and recommended the book and asked if they would add it to the curriculum, that I thought that it was that important, you know, that that the young people read it, you know, that they write a you know, a book report in regards to it. In fact, I put in there and I said, if you would like, I said, I will ask the guests to come back on in the future, and if you would like, you can have some of the young people write questions, and I will ask the author, you know, at a later date, you know, if that would help. And I got confirmation this morning from them via email that said, yes, they will be adding it to the curriculum and asking the young people to put together a book report. So
we're
anyway,
just thrilled.
Yeah, and we're thrilled. But also,
well, Alan, that's wonderful. Sorry, go ahead.
No. I'm just saying that it's and not just from the standpoint of how much I liked it, but the fact that, you know, the school personnel, they checked it out. You know, they obviously felt the same way, or they wouldn't have made that decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm just...
Well, that's wonderful, and thank you for suggesting it. I will tell you also, one of the most fun things that I do is when I have the opportunity to speak at middle schools and at high schools, I love getting the questions from young people, because I'm always impressed by their curiosity, by their openness. You know, they have so many great questions about the world, and they're often questions that I haven't even anticipated. They might be questions about the young refugee children who I was working with in Rwanda or in Bosnia, or questions about children of the street who spend their days begging and selling gums and cigarettes and shining shoes in the streets of Bolivia. Might be questions about Navy SEAL training, but they're so open, they're so curious, and it's a pleasure. So, and you can let them know, Alan, I'd be more than happy to come back on and answer some of their questions.
Well, I certainly will, but have you observed any differences between the ways in which the young people respond to your work in comparison to the way in which the adults respond?
Well, one of the things that's interesting is that both groups, both young people and adults, really resonate with this idea of the front line. So one of the things that I say is that in the military, we often think of the front line as a place where you come in contact with the enemy. But in reality, everybody has a front line in their life. Everyone has a place where they come in contact with pain, with difficulty, with tough challenges, with hardship, maybe with suffering, with failure. We all have these front lines in our lives. And one of the things that's interesting is to see the way that adults and young people think about their front line in different ways. You know, for a lot of adults, sometimes their front line might have to do with employment. Their front line might have to do with how they can be a good parent, how they can be a good partner, how they can be a community leader. And they're often thinking about their own hardships and challenges. For young people, a lot of times, one of the things that's very interesting is that they will ask questions about their own challenges, certainly challenges that they might be having in school or challenges in the community or challenges at home, but oftentimes they'll also ask about challenges that they know their friends are having. Mm-hmm. So they're very often you get lots of questions about a challenge that a particular friend is having, and they want to think, how do they move through that front line? How do they find a way to build compassion and courage in their life at that moment?
Yeah, that is the question. How do they build that, and how do they navigate this? And that's what I think about your book is so wonderful, is it really shows a path on how to navigate, how to be curious, and how to question, ask questions, and how to find the answers, and figuring out what would you do.
Yes, and you know, Dr. Fox, one of the things that's so powerful about our lives is that we have the opportunity to create who we are. We have the opportunity to build compassion in our lives. We have an opportunity to build courage in our lives. And the way that we do that is very simple. We build courage by acting with courage. We build courage by facing our fears. We build compassion by acting with compassion. And a lot of times what young people are looking for is they're just looking for the right model, and they're looking for, how do I figure out that next first step? How do I really take the first step to become a person of compassion and courage? Mm-hmm. You know, in the SEAL teams, we talk about different mental toughness techniques. And one of the mental toughness techniques that we talk about is a process called segmenting. And what happens in segmenting is, I know if I'm sitting at the beginning of Hell Week, for example, which is considered to be the hardest week of the hardest military training in the world, I know I'm about to go through some training where I'm going to be doing 4-mile timed runs and 2-mile ocean swims. I'm going to be swimming 50 meters underwater. I'm going to be doing training on the beach with logs that weigh several hundred pounds. And I'm going to be doing all of this training over the course of a week, where I might only sleep for 2 to 5 hours over the course of the entire week. If you think about the enormity of that, it can actually become overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you see that happens in the SEAL teams is that very oftentimes people will quit when they're in the training, not because of what they're doing, but they'll quit because of what they're thinking about. So one of the things that we teach for young men who are going to the SEAL team training is we teach this process called segmenting. And in segmenting, it's very simple. You just break everything down into a set of little steps, and then you identify in a very crystal clear way exactly what the first step is that you have to take. And that first step could be as simple as figuring out how you're going to get out of bed in the morning. You know, there's a SEAL Master Chief friend of mine called Will Guild, and he explains this process of getting to your dot. So your dot is your place where you start your physical training in the morning. And the dots are probably about 150 yards away from where the trainees are sleeping. And anybody can wake up and make it to the dot. Doesn't matter if you're 8 years old or 80 years old. A lot of people can make it to the dots. But amazingly, it's not during the physical training that people would quit. It's oftentimes when they wake up in the morning or when they're taking a break during the physical training to think about everything that's going to come. So one of the things that we have to do in our lives is figure out, how do we figure out how to just take that next first step to build a life of compassion and courage? And that's what I hope that readers of The Warrior's Heart will get, is figure out how they take that first step in their own lives.
Well, when you're talking about this, it's reminding me of mindfulness, about not getting so overwhelmed of what needs to, all the stuff that needs to happen and may or may not happen in the future, but really being focused on right here, right now. What do I need to do now? You know, what step do I need to take right here, right now that'll lead me towards, say, my long-term goal of getting to that dot, but like get up in the morning and just have to wake up and get out of bed, you know, and just do that first. And I really like the idea that segmenting. I never really had heard it called that before, but taking a look at all the little steps that you need to get to and then just focus on that first step and then the next step and the next step and be in that moment.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we find it just helps people to make it through the hardest week of the hardest military training in the world, helps people to make it through difficult moments that they might be having in a relationship. It helps young people to make it through difficult moments that they might be having in the classroom or in their community. And it all comes back to this idea, what can I do right now? And really just focusing on that bit of self-mastery and figuring out what can I control, what can't I control, and how do I take the right step right now?
Right.
All right, Eric, we have an instant message coming over that I'm going to read to you. This one is, it says, I am a retired Air Force officer who is now teaching 8th graders in Sacramento. Several other vets and myself started an after-school program to get our kids involved in volunteer work with the homeless and elders in our community. To get the ball rolling, we started things off with a series of, quote, survival classes. Now we are expanding this to areas of sustainability and gardening. These passionate young people are becoming teachers themselves and changing lives in the process. I was wondering if your program is doing anything similar to this.
I guess they're talking about the Mission Continues program?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I'll tell you a little bit about the Mission Continues. So I started the Mission Continues when I came back from my last deployment in Iraq. When I was there, I was serving as a commander of an Al-Qaeda targeting cell. And in March of 2007, my team was hit by a suicide truck bomb. Now, I was fine. My injuries were minor. I was taken to the Fallujah Surgical Hospital, and I was able to return to duty just 72 hours later. But a lot of my friends were hurt far worse than I was. And when I came home to visit them, I went to Bethesda to the Naval Hospital, and I recognized that all of them, despite their injuries, when you ask them, what do you want to do when you recover, they all said to me, they said, I want to return to my unit. Now, the reality was, for a lot of those men and women, they were not going to be able to return to their unit. One of them had lost both of his legs, another had lost part of, you know, use of his right arm, part of his right lung, another had lost a good part of his hearing. But they all still wanted to find a way to continue to serve. And so what I did that day, I called two friends who were disabled veterans of mine, told them about what I saw. We decided we would do something together. So they put in money from their disability checks. I contributed my combat pay from Iraq. And we used that to start the Mission Continues. And much like what your listener who's the Air Force veteran who's teaching young people is doing, we take other veterans and we help them to continue their missions of public service. And they work at Boys and Girls Clubs, they work at Habitat for Humanity, they become youth hockey coaches and martial arts instructors. And the whole idea is that these young men and women are assets to the community, and we want them to come home and to continue their mission of service. And we set up for them an intensive six-month service and leadership fellowship program so that they can go through and become citizen leaders again here at home.
Well, that's really helping people in all areas, because I think when you come back, you have a whole different mindset from all your experiences. And so to be able to put that energy into something positive and help others and continue your mission of community service and serving others is a wonderful place to put that energy.
It's a great place to put that energy. And what we found is that as veterans begin to serve again in the community, what happens is that they rebuild their own sense of purpose, mm-hmm. and at the same time, they start to build stronger communities. And we all end up benefiting from that. And we believe that these veterans can really be fantastic examples. It's why I share some of their stories in The Warrior's Heart, is because I want young people to see the right kinds of role models. And again, a lot of our veterans, they might have worked through some real hardship and difficulty both overseas and even when they came home, but they have found a way to continue that mission of service. And that's what I hope that young people will also do when they read The Warrior's Heart.
And Eric, while we're speaking about the Mission Continues, for those listening, if there's somebody out there that wants to get involved, how can they do that? Is there a phone number or a website that they can go to?
Absolutely, Alan. We'd love to have folks get involved. And you can go out to missioncontinues.org. It's just www.missioncontinues.org, or you can type into any search engine, The Mission Continues, and you'll find our website. And out at the website, they will find ways, if they are a veteran themselves, to get involved with our fellowship program. If anyone can find a way to come out and volunteer with us, join us in our service project program, especially that the holiday season, as people are thinking about their own philanthropic commitments, if people wanted to invest in this generation of fellows, they can. All of that information is out there at missioncontinues.org.
And while you're writing things down, especially websites, if you want to be able to get any of Eric's books, you can go to www.ericgreitens.com /books, and that's spelt ericgreitens.com/books. And you can not only get The Warrior's Heart, but you can get any of his other books as well.
I imagine they're available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and everywhere else as well, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, yeah, Dr. Fox, Alan, you can get them certainly at my website at ericgreitens.com, but you can also get them at Amazon. You can get them at Barnes & Noble. They're all available. But if someone is interested in a signed copy and they order it through our website, I can also sign it for them or sign it for a young person in their life if they want to get it for them for the holidays, for example.
You know, I'm just sitting here thinking and listening to you and your voice. I was just curious. Do you have it on tape? Like, I know it's not tape anymore, but DVD or download. But have you read The Warrior's Heart for people to download yet?
I have read The Heart and the Fist, Dr. Fox. So we have an audiobook of The Heart and the Fist. Have not yet had an opportunity to read The Warrior's Heart, but look forward to it. So it's been a lot of fun reading the books and having people who've listened to it on tape.
And also, are they available on ebooks?
Absolutely. Yes, yes. So both of the books are available on ebooks.
Oh, that's fabulous. I just got a Nook, so I'm playing with it now and downloading it.
Excellent.
I just want to take it along with me here. But okay, I have another listener question actually that was emailed to me the other day, but it says, one of our sons is determined to join the Army when he graduates high school next year, and I'm trying to be supportive, but inside I'm very opposed to his being shipped off to a dangerous area of the world. I have many questions about the validity of our government's honesty and true objectives. As background, I lost my father in the Vietnam War and grandfather in Korea. What is your opinion about our youth being shipped off and the dangers they are facing in the coming years? Signed, a worried mother.
Well, first of all, let me just say to your listener, what a fantastic question and an absolutely natural question. And if it is helpful, I can absolutely let her know that my mother was absolutely worried as well when I told her that I was going to be joining the United States Navy and especially gonna become a Navy SEAL. It's absolutely a natural thing to be worried about this. What I would say is that it is important to learn about the opportunities that the military does offer to young men and women. It's absolutely not the right choice for every young man and woman or woman, but the military does offer some extraordinary opportunities for service and for leadership. And, you know, I would say one of the things that we have found is that a number of parents have actually read either The Heart and the Fist or The Warrior's Heart with their kids, and it was they used the book as an opportunity both to think about what it means to make choices about service and about how you actually live your life, and as an opportunity for them to both talk about their own fears about this course. Absolutely natural to have those worries, those concerns, those fears, and I think that it's a great thing to explore with your son or your daughter and sit down and have those conversations with them.
I know for me, I was in the Air Force very young, but it was peacetime. It was a different time in those years. It was the Reagan years, so it was very, yes, very quiet. It was before all the war, in between the wars, and at that time, parents didn't worry too much about joining the forces, but now there are so many, you know, stories about kids not coming back, but there are so many kids that do come back, and what a difference the military makes in the world and world peace and trying to help others and do the humanitarian efforts as well.
Absolutely. I mean, I will tell you, I've been very fortunate in my life to have had a wonderful undergraduate education. I had a wonderful graduate education, was able to spend 4 wonderful years at Oxford University. I've learned a tremendous amount doing this service and leadership work at The Mission Continues. But hands down, my experience in service and leadership in the United States military absolutely shaped me in a positive way as a servant, as a leader, and I am so grateful for the time that I spent in the military. It just not only enriched those years, but I know that it's enriched my entire life.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a wonderful journey. It was a great experience for me, and I really enjoyed it, and I encourage people to go in, too. I do like to see people go to college first before they go in.
Sure.
I think it's much better to go in as an officer than yep. as a grunt and get to do all the dirty work. But we need people that do everything. So.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the things that I found when I was in the SEAL teams is we had a lot of people who joined the SEAL teams who might have even gone to college for a year or two, and then they realized that at that point in their life, they just didn't quite have the maturity. They weren't quite ready for it. So they joined the military, and then they really built a lot of personal self-mastery skills. They built some really good habits, and a lot of the men who I served with, they went into the military, and then they found what they needed, and they went to college. And so we all have different journeys in our life, different paths, and I do absolutely encourage people to get as much education as they can, and if the military is the right path mm-hmm. for some of them, it might be the right path. But we all have a way to pursue learning and service in our lives.
Yeah, I just think the military is wonderful, and we live in the greatest country in the world, and we have so much to be thankful for because of those who serve. So thank you for doing all the work that you've done in the military and your continued work that you're doing. Now, going back to the warrior's heart a little bit, what do you hope young adults take away from reading this and the teens take away from reading this?
Well, you know, when a teen reader sits down and they start to read The Warrior's Heart, I really hope that by the time they get done with the book, they have the message really clearly that the world needs you. The world needs them, and that even at their young age, that they can find a way to start serving in the community. I want them to know that they've got talents, that they've got mm-hmm. gifts, they've got abilities and strengths to create that positive change. And that what I also want them to see is that if you take that potential and you develop it through service, that they're going to become stronger, they're going to become more courageous, they're going to become more compassionate, and they'll have an opportunity to create their own journey.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to tell you, I could not agree with you more. We are so thankful that you are out there. Now, we've only got a couple more minutes, but I do want to ask, what are you working on now? Are there any future plans, literary or otherwise, that you want to share with us in about 2 minutes?
Well, you know, one fun project that I'm working on now, Alan, is a new book on the concept of resilience. So oftentimes, I think that people think about resilience. They know that we need resilience in our life, but we kind of think that we either have it or we don't. And what I've learned is that there are real ways for us to actually build resilience in our lives. We can build it in our personal life. We can build it in our family life. We can build it in our work life. And so that's a really fun project that I'm working on now with resilience. And then in terms of service, I'm really enjoying my work at The Mission Continues. You know, we're helping this wonderful generation of veterans come back home, find a way to continue to serve, and really excited about everything that's ahead for us in the new year at The Mission Continues.
Well, now, this book on resilience, do we have a date that it's coming out yet, or are you that close?
I think, well, we're not that close yet. We're still in the drafting stages, and I suspect that you will probably be able to see it sometime in 2014.
Okay.
It'll probably be out.
Well, please let us know when it comes out, because we would love to get you back on the air to talk about resiliency.
That's exactly where I was going.
Yeah, but we.
Well, Alan, Dr. Fox, I would love to be back on with you, and it's just been an absolute pleasure having the chance to talk with you and think about how we can make a difference in the lives of young people and families.
Well, I think your book definitely makes a difference, and I'm so thrilled to hear Alan was able to get into that high school. Hopefully, many other high schools and junior high schools will follow suit here. If not, if you're a parent, it's Christmas time. Great book to put underneath the tree for your teenager or young adult or even elementary school and junior high school to get their brain thinking in those ways on what would they do and how do they create the life that they want through the choices that they make. Well, Eric Greiten, thank you so much for joining us today on Answers for the Family. We certainly appreciate it and thoroughly enjoyed your book, The Warrior's Heart, Becoming a Man of Compassion and Courage. So thank you for being with us.
You are very welcome, Dr. Fox. Pleasure to be on with you, Alan. Pleasure to be on with you as well, sir.
And we'll be back with more Answers for the Family in another week. Have a great, great week.
You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio.